That's a blessing. Glad we got somebody and something to sing about. Amen. It's come time for another message this morning. I appreciate Brother Tim Hodge. He pastors the Trinity Baptist Church over in Drexel. I appreciate them being part of camp meeting. And I appreciate this preacher. He preached 2 years ago about a greater than Solomon. Best ever heard in my life. Magnified Christ. And I love this man. Appreciate him. I want you to preach to us. I love you. They'll work the light for
Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And while you're finding your place, I just want to say what a privilege it is to be here this morning. Thank God for how he's helped my own life in this place, how he's helped my family.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to say thank you to Preacher Steve, Preacher Jamie. Thank God for how he's used them to help me. And thank you to all of you preachers that have given us the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what we've got to have in these days. And I thank the Lord for the Word of God, don't you?
Amen.
Thank him for his word. Hebrews chapter number 13. I'll read just a couple of verses down in verse number 5. The scripture says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Then down in verse number 8, the scripture says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever."
Amen.
I'm privileged to pastor at Trinity Baptist Church. Just finished 5 years there. And the Lord has been helping us tremendously since the beginning of this year. I've been attempting to preach out of this chapter, out of this verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
And the reality is that in a world that is ever-changing, the fact that he never changes, changes everything for the child of God.
Amen.
The truth is, we ought to be walking through this world with a different walk and a different talk and a different attitude in our hearts, because our Lord never changes. And that encompasses a whole lot. When I first started preaching out of verse number 8, I thought it'd be just a few weeks series. But what I found is the whole reason we preach Genesis through Revelation is because he never changes. And every word that he has given to us is the same. It applies to us today. Our Lord has not changed in his sovereignty. There's a lot that has changed in this past year. Whoever is in Washington does not affect where our Lord is at this morning. He is sovereign and he is in control of the affairs of this world. He is unchanging in his love. I'm glad he loved us with an everlasting love. He is unchanging in his compassion. They fail not. And he's unchanging in his power. He is unchanging in his holiness. He's unchanging in his plan. He's never once had to say, "Let me go back to the drawing board."
Amen.
His plan is from everlasting, and it is unfolding in this day just as he preordained it to be. He's unchanging in his mercy. His mercy is from everlasting. He's unchanging in his grace. I'm so thankful. What writers would call the immutability of Christ, that is what we lean upon this morning. But I want to look specifically in verse number 5, and I want to just say this morning, I'm so glad that he does not change in his presence. And what a word of comfort to the heart of a child of God in this day, that our Lord is ever with us. Read with me again in the second part of verse number 5. It simply says this, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a source of that statement.
Amen.
He hath said.
Amen.
I'm glad there's a lot of people you can maybe count on their word for a little while. And they may tell you something you can lean on for a little while. But I'm glad this morning for the source of this word. He hath said. I'm glad whatever he tells us we can lean upon this morning. I'm glad whatever he says to our hearts, you can take it to the bank. You don't have to wonder, is it so or is it not so? But I'm glad for the source of Scripture this morning. He hath said. Well, what is it that he hath said? He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We find that this word is a word of security. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And what a promise he has given to the child of God. But you know what I found? He didn't just begin saying that in the book of Hebrews. He has said that from the beginning of time to all of his people. In fact, to Jacob in Genesis 28, he said, Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places wherever thou goest. To Solomon in 1 Chronicles, he said, For the Lord God, even my God, will bless thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. To Moses, he said in Exodus 33, My presence shall go with thee. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, he said, As I was with Moses, even shall I be with you. And we get on over to chapter number 5 and we find out that he holds up exactly what he said. Joshua is about to go into that battle there, and he looks around and he sees one standing there in the distance, and he goes over to him and says, Are you for us or are you for the enemy? And the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ, said, I am here and I have come to take over. And I'm glad, thank God, for the presence of God that was promised to those in days of old. And it is promised to you and I. We find that David said in Psalm 139, speaking of his manifest presence, he said, If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning to the othermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He said, If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He was present perpetually for those in the Old Testament. But I love that the Hebrew writer reminds us that he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I found it very interesting, and those of you that have studied this passage, you're probably way ahead of me on this. But what is so interesting in verse number 5 is the construction in the Greek of this phrase. He said, For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the Greek, that first nor is actually two Greek words, ou and me. I probably didn't pronounce that right, but it's about as close as I can get. Both of them mean never. Both of them mean never. In the second one where he says, nor forsake thee, that nor actually is three Greek words, oude, ou, and me. All three of those mean never. In fact, in the 1800s, when Charles Spurgeon preached this text at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, he titled his message, Never, 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 Never. And if I could this morning, I just want to expound this last thought. The surety of this word. I'm glad that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But what the scripture is really telling us here, preacher, is there is grace in behind what the Lord is doing for us. He said, I'll never, 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 never leave you or forsake you.
I've got to confess to you this morning, there's been some times in my life that I wondered whether or not it's with me. I wondered whether or not it could see me. But I'm so glad, thank God, Scripture tells it right. He has never, 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 never left me or forsaken me. I'm glad He'll go with us, Scripture says, all the way, even unto the end. I'll never, 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 never leave thee or forsake thee. It's almost like He's just given us an extra proclamation that He is with us. And I take great comfort this morning in the fact that He leads us and that He guides us. But I found over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, verse 31, the Lord says, in the wilderness, where thou, listen at this, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bear thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that he went. In all the way that he went. That word bear, where Christ is telling us He carries us like a man would carry his son. The word for son there is an infant that can't even stand up possibly and walk on his own. He can't even get a milk bottle for himself. He can't find anything to eat or anything to drink. There's absolutely nothing he could do upon his own. Sounds to me like the shepherd carrying that little sheep. But what the Scripture is telling us here is our Lord carries us every step of the way. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. That little old poem, Footprints, I've always liked that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've always liked it. It talks about us walking along the way, and then a hard time came, and all of a sudden there was just one set of footprints because the Lord had lifted us up and carried us. But I'm just here to tell you it's better than that. He says in the Word of God, there's only one step, one set of footprints the whole way. He is carrying us all along life's journey. And I'm glad this morning, thank God. There's been some times that I thought I was trying to do it on my own. But I have realized in that dark hour that the preacher was talking about, that all along the way, even on the mountaintop, but in the valley as well, our Lord is carrying His sheep. He's carrying His people. In fact, He carries us all the way to the grave. Spurgeon said this, even at our dying hour, even at our dying hour, they shall not die prematurely. They shall be immortal till their work is done. And when their time shall come to die, then their deaths are precious in the eyes of God. Yes, the Lord watches over their dying beds. Amen. He smooths their pillows, sustains their hearts, and receives their souls. You say, how far is He going to carry us, preacher? All the way home. For He hath said, I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to give you this very quickly. The word leave there in Greek is this: I will in no way let you go. I will not relax my hold upon you. I will never, 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 never cease from holding you. I'll never relax my grip on you. He's taken us all the way home. But I was interested in what allows you and I to enjoy His presence. Why is it that you and I never have to be alone? In Isaiah 63 and
Verse number 3, the scripture says this. The Lord says in verse 2, "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat?" And he goes on to say, "I have trodden the winepress alone." He went all the way alone. Even at Calvary was forsaken by the Father, that you and I might never, 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 never have to be alone. I just want to close this morning by saying this. I don't know many of you here this morning. I don't know where you find yourself. But if you know God, there is a great comfort in this word this morning. It's not me saying it. It's not somebody else saying it. He hath said, "I will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you." Some of the old songwriters were evidently studiers of Scripture as well. The old songwriter that wrote "How Firm a Foundation" penned it down like this: "That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. For he hath said, I'll never, 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 never leave you or forsake you."